So each week we have a time, you know, this is the time to get good ideas for yourself, good ideas that you may want to share with other people. It's also a time then to anchor those good ideas into consciousness. And one of the ways we do that is the spiritual mind treatment. We're going to do each week we offer that opportunity. So today our practitioner for the day is Judy Avey. She will be sharing a reading with us, as well as inviting you to join her in knowing something better for yourself. Judy?
Thanks. It's great to be here. It's nice to see everyone. After having all that wonderful rain yesterday, nice day to kind of just snuggle in and relax. I've been out of town a little bit, and it's just really nice to be back, so I just wanted to say that. The reading that I'm going to do today is from a book called This Thing Called You by Ernest Holmes. Here it is. This book is just filled with gems. I expect everything I do to prosper. I enthusiastically expect success. I let good flow into my experience. I am seeking good in every direction I look. I am looking forward to more good. I am entering into a deeper understanding of life. I am recognizing my union with all people in all events. Today and every day, I expect good. I anticipate meeting new friends. I joyously anticipate contacting new situations which will increase my livingness. My life is an adventure. I know that wonderful things are going to happen to me, and I know that everything I do shall turn into good for myself and for others. All right, with those thoughts in mind, I hope that you will join me in spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer. And if you will accept these words for yourself, I'm going to say them in the first person as if I'm just talking about myself, but I really want all of us to embrace this. So let's just take a few moments to relax and to breathe and to allow ourselves to become aware of the oneness of all life. And I know this to be true, that there is this one presence, only one power, only one goodness, one love, one ultimate reality, and that this presence is everywhere in the universe. It expresses through me. It expresses through all that I see in life around me, whether it's the trees that are just beautiful, whether it's the lovely rain, whether it's the chair I'm sitting in or the podium that I'm in front of, that all of it is vibrating with the aliveness of this one intelligent, loving goodness and presence. I know that I'm one with this presence and that I am never, ever separated from it, that this presence guides and directs me, that I pay attention to my intuitive sense, to my ideas that come to my mind. I pay attention because I know that I am one with this presence and that it never is gone from me, that I may be plowing through life, busy with stuff, but as I do all of that, I bring my awareness always back to my oneness, my connection, my wholeness, my truth. I know for myself today that this is a good place for me to be, that I open myself up to new ideas, that I am one with this presence of intelligence that is always, always expanding in my mind, expanding in my awareness, and that I embrace these new ideas. And that as I do this, that it instructs me to lead a life that is more full, that is more perfect, that is more uniquely me in every way. I just affirm and know for our center here, for the CSL Midtown, that this is a good place to be. It's a good place for me to be, and it is the perfect place to love, to expand, to embrace, to know oneness, to know truth, to know a life that is truly worth living. This is a place that I can transform and believe in greater and greater truths for myself. So I turn away from any ideas of lack, limitation, fear, doubt, worry, pain. I just turn away from all of that. Instead, I know that behind the appearance of anything like that is truth, is love, is peace, is prosperity, is goodness of every kind. And I know that this center is a place for this power and this presence to express perfectly in greater and greater ways. So I'm grateful for this moment. I'm grateful for being here today. I open myself up to life, to love, and to my own personal transformation that is just perfect and unique for me. So I let these words go now, knowing that they come back to me fully manifested in my world. So I release this now with thanksgiving. And so it is.
I am, we're kind of putting this in a context today for what I want to talk about. You may remember 2 weeks ago, those who were here, those who weren't, it's on the website. I invite you to take a listen. And that is, we talked about abundance. And I demonstrated for you abundance. You may recall. But before I did, I invited you to get an abundance going in your own consciousness. Because that's where it counts. You can watch my abundance all you want to, but that's, and you know, I'll get paid more for it. But it's strictly a matter of you experiencing abundance within your own mind. And if you may recall, we went through a process where I invited you to close your eyes and see all the abundance of the universe floating past and through and around you, and all of the good that's yours and available, and just see every bit of it. And I hope you begin to create that habit, because it's an important habit to embody, to see the abundance everywhere. And then last week, we talked about acceptance. That all of that abundance can be all around you, all you want it to be, but until you accept it into your life as for you and about you, and let go of all those reasons why you're not acceptable, then it might as well just be a movie you're watching or a crazy guy on stage, because it doesn't make a difference for you. And so this week, in that same context, we're going on to the next step, and that is about embodying the belief and the idea that I am enough. Not me, you, all of us, each one of us, we are enough. Now, some people would say enough is kind of a limited idea, but if you don't have that, you can't build on it. Because if I'm not enough, you're not enough, and the world's not enough, and there's not enough money, and there's not enough love, and there's not enough kindness, and there's not enough, you know, you can't do anything with that except be frustrated and empty. So what we're going to do today is talk a little more about embodying enoughness, and embodying that idea that I am, and have, and always will be. So embodiment is one of those things that we use the language around here a lot. We use language that, unless you've been in this a bit, may not make any sense. But embodiment is the idea of what do you really take in and embody. One example, to get an idea of what embodiment is, someone, friend, told him that, you know, you are a martyr. You wrote the book on martyrdom and drama. And you just, you know, your picture is in the dictionary next to the word martyrdom. Hopefully nobody here has ever been told that. But I am curious, what would your picture be next to? Because that's the important question. It might be next to disappointing. It might be next to fabulous. Yeah, some people keep calling that, I think.
And
it's about owning what really is true for you and what people might, other people might even recognize in you, but whether they do or not, what you recognize in you. Might be next to the word victim. Might be next to the word rebel. I always like owning the word adventurer. I've been an adventurer all my life. I got out of high school on Friday. I left home that day. Saw as much of the world as I could, and I have since then. Adventurer. Is your picture next to the word adventurer? Or is your picture next to the word lover? Think about it. Think about where your picture would be in the dictionary, because that matters. See, what you picture yourself as, what that embodying looks like to you, you see yourself as a rebel, you see yourself as a success, as prosperous. I think last week, was it 2 weeks ago, we dubbed Tracy as the queen of prosperity or something, you know. She accepts that. She'll take that. What's more important than what you label that to be is to recognize that there is something in you that has the power to do the labeling. That's the important part. You can change the label. I used to see myself as a victim. I used to see myself as not enough. But something in me has managed to bring me through all of that most of the time. A moment or two here and there, and be labeled as successful, be labeled as somebody with something to say, be labeled with enough courage or something to stand up here and talk to you every week, to label myself differently, to embody a very different thing, to really own that it isn't me that does the work, but the power of life within me that is flowing forward. And so the real crux here in the talk today is getting clear about, or clearer about, what is that something in you that guides you, leads you, and allows you to embody what you wish to embody. So you're more than all of the accomplishments you've ever done. You're more than everything you've ever earned, all the money you have in the bank, cars you drive, or the lack thereof. You're more than your successes on any level. There's still more to you than that. There's something more about you. Everything between. See, life, real life, life as we see it and experience it all day and every day, is bigger than any philosophy, teaching, or religion that tries to describe it. Life is bigger than the principles we talk about and teach here. There's more to it. It's bigger. It's more alive. It's something else. And you are alive. So you are that something else. You are that something more. See, when I think of enoughness, I say to myself, wow, I'm enough, because I recognize there's something in me that is more than all of that stuff. Not making any of it wrong. Not even the stuff I don't like. Sometimes I like to make that wrong, because then if I make it wrong enough and loud enough and long enough, it'll go away. Well, that doesn't happen. What happens is I'm embracing who I am and the fact that there is more to me than has shown up yet. It means there's more that can show up, more that will show up. We say it all the time around here. There's only one life. That life is God's life. That life is perfect. That life is my life now. Whether you use the word God or spirit or truth or source or whatever, there is more to anything about you than has yet shown up. So I'm talking about enoughness a little further. Because I think that's it's a good window into that something else that's within us. You know? Like, when you don't know you're enough, you know people who live that way. They don't know they're enough. They don't know that who and what they are is enough, just as they are. And so they're always out to prove something. you think about that for yourself? Are you making the choices about what you do and how you do it because it's who you are and you find great joy and freedom in it? Or is it because you're trying to prove something? I spent the first, I don't know how many years of my life, probably till I was 30, proving to my family that I was a good musician because I was supposed to be. I had to live out that dream of theirs. Got to prove it. Got to make it happen. Got to do it. Driven. And every time we do a big performance, I ran a large center with multiple age choirs and groups of all kinds of things. And every time we had to do a big performance, Christmas or Easter or in the middle of the year, afterwards I would be depressed for days. Because it wasn't out of my dream, it was out of my need to prove something. And I had proved it, and yet no matter how much I proved, it wasn't good enough. All I could see were all the places where we made mistakes. We did a Messiah one year, and about halfway through it, I'm not sure what happened to me, but I got bored with how slow it was, and I took off. And I was dreadful. So we went from the Hallelujah chorus being a nice, big, heavy thing to Hallelujah, Hallelujah. It was so fast they could barely sing it. All I could think about for the rest of the year was how bad that was. The truth was, it was in perfect alignment with the original performance back, you know, how many hundred years ago it was done, which was a madrigal, not a big, heavy thing like we hear it all the time. But my own brain couldn't accept that it was good enough. It could only accept that it was bad, that we'd gone too fast, and everybody was looking at me like, what is wrong with you? You know, at least in the choir, I couldn't see the audience. I didn't, they all seemed to like it. So I guess it was okay. See, are we come to think of ourselves as victims? Victims of our parents. And some of us have been victimized. I'm not minimizing that. But having had the experience of being victim doesn't make you one. There is still that life within you, that something more that is expressing and proving and coming forward and allowing you to identify with and become something else. We define ourselves when we don't know that we're enough by our weaknesses and our faults. Whether we do that out loud or internally, we're still doing it. See, a lot of what's happening in the world today, I think, is that, as has been true for generations, is that we have an accumulation of generation after generation who have been defined based on what we aren't. And what we're missing, and what our faults are, and what's wrong with us, and what's wrong with them, and what's wrong. And people have embodied that and identified with it over and over and deeper and deeper. You're wrong because of your color, you're wrong because of your sex, you're wrong because of this, that, or the other. I was always wrong because I was too fat. I look at pictures now in my teenage years when I really believe that, and I think, oh my God, that just wasn't true. But I couldn't see the truth because all I could see was what I was hearing in my own head. Making myself wrong when you don't know you're enough. When you do know you're enough, then you make your choices out of who you are rather than trying to prove something. You're just being something. You're doing what you're doing because it's a joy to do it. I love this. I don't do it because I'm trying to prove it. I love teaching this teaching. I love watching people wake up for the first time and go, oh my gosh, this is an idea I've thought about in the back of my mind forever and nobody ever said it, and now somebody said it and I can go with it. I can go deeper with it. I can dig into it. We don't need to impress anyone when we're living out of this year enough. There's a kind of equilibrium. You know what I'm talking about? When you know you're in the midst of doing or being something that is all yours, and that feels like yours, and that is the truth of who you are, it's a kind of equilibrium and balance, and everything's kind of okay. See, when we're doing that, then if we know we're enough, then we have the energy not to focus on trying to help ourselves feel better, but to create what we want to have come forward. We can use that energy within us, that life within us, capital L, to say, I am more alive and I can create what I want. I can manufacture within me an identity with that embodiment of who I am. Whether it's prosperity, whether it's success, whether it's love, whether it's quietude. I know some people who have embodied hermits, speaking hermits, and they love it. Science of mind hermits. Go figure. And they produce amazing written material and stuff for the rest of us to read and think about and look at, because all they do is sit around and think about this stuff all the time and write about it. And they don't deal with people, which I would miss, but they like it. You get to embody and create according to who you are, not what you think you ought to be. We let go of this idea that what somebody said about you and who you are and what you should embody is the truth of you. Because the truth of you is bigger and broader and more flexible and more fluid than anything you get defined. And as soon as you get it defined, there's something in you pressing to be more, to be different, to be something else. And granted, we just kind of grasp certain things because we feel safer, you know, kind of like routines. But as long as the routine doesn't become the final word, you know, we don't have rituals and sacraments and all of that in this teaching because, first of all, we're not a religion, we're a spiritual teaching, but also because as soon as you nail down one thing and say it has to be this way, it becomes the thing and not the thing within you that is alive. And that's true in our lives. It's true about relationships. It's true about the things we choose to do. You know the old story about the ham and Christmas. Mama's got the, she's making the ham, and her daughter's watching her, and she cuts off the end of it and puts it in the pan and bakes it. The daughter says, "How come you cut off the end of the ham?" "I don't know. That's what my mama did. Let's go talk to grandma." So they go talk to grandma, and she's in the other room. "Well, how come you cut off the end of the ham? You always taught me to do that." "Is it so long, really?" "No. You know, I don't know. My mama's upstairs taking a nap. Let's go ask her." So they go up and ask her. She says, "I cut off the end of the ham because I only could afford a pan that big. It was the only thing we had. So we cut off the end of the ham so it fit in the pan." How many things in our lives do we get stuck in because we get lost in the form and the shape instead of what's within us that wants to create something new? Or we end up throwing away half the ham or any other good in our lives because we don't even see it as valuable. See, I think when we're lost in the not enoughness, we throw people away the same way. We throw all kinds of things away because we don't even see the value that's there. So the invitation then is to identify with that thing within you that wants to create more and greater and freer for you based on what you want, not on what anyone else wants, and not based on what you should be doing. You know, shoulds are interesting. There's always the shame part of should. And there's always the thing in should that says, this is somebody else's idea. Even though it may feel like you embodied it, I should do this. No. If you want to do this, do it. I'm not professional. So what's all that have to do with prosperity? Everything. And what it has to do with prosperity is this. See, one of the definitions of prosperity is that prosperity is spiritual well-being, which is bigger than the idea of prosperity is money. Although, listen, I'm not knocking the money part. Want that there too. However, spiritual well-being is prosperous and prosperity. Think about that. If you feel really like you're good and okay and spiritually well, do you worry about money? Not if you understand spirit. But spirit is money in action. Spirit is life in action. It's churning and creating and making it happen and bringing it forward for you. Yeah. See, when we identify with our spiritual well-being, we are identifying with that life force that's within us, that's bigger than we have yet experienced or defined. And prosperity then becomes a way of living and thinking, as is poverty. You talked about this a little last week. Do you, when you sit down in a restaurant, do you look at the prices first and then decide what you want to eat? That's not prosperity thinking. You look at the price tag on the rack first. Are you looking at the clothes you want? How about if you had a few things that you really loved and then all the rest of it go? I'm in the process of doing that. Slower than some might like for it to happen, but it's happening. Accumulated all this, my house is a museum. It's a museum of my life. I've got paintings from various people and places and things. Many of them I love, most of them, some of them I love and go, why am I still carrying that around? Because I'm stuck. So I'm letting go. Making room for more. Make creating more. Prosperity is flow. It's not stagnant anything. See, it's not about how much stuff you have. It's what you think about the stuff you have. How you feel about stuff. Is it supporting your life or is it getting in the way? Are you embodying the belief that you have everything within you to manage all of it and to create all of it and bring in more? I had a childhood belief. My family didn't necessarily say it, and yet we did. My family lost everything. They own half of South Georgia, and they lost everything that they had in the 1929 crash. Few people still around. Russ probably does. I mean, Ross probably doesn't do it, but we won't tell anybody. You know, the belief then became, don't hold on to it, because the government will take it, or the crash will take it, or the this will take it, or the that will take it, so you better spend it quick. So prosperity became about spending, whether I had the money to spend or not. It's not true anymore, but it was true then. You know how that works in you. You have all kinds of beliefs about money, about prosperity, about the flow of good, about that abundance that's always running in your consciousness. And which parts you latch onto, which parts you let go, which parts you celebrate, which parts you try to hold on to and keep and memorialize and fit into the can that you don't even need to have anymore. And that's true on a big broad scale. And I'm being general on purpose because how that plays out for you is very unique and individual. And I can't tell you this or that or the other. One of the most prosperous times of my life, I was not working, I was homeless, not in the sense of being poor and homeless, but I was choosing to be, and I traveled around the country in a tent and had a marvelous time going to the next day and the next day and the next day. And I had to get up in the morning and say, all right, where are we going to go today? We as a human myself and I. Along with spirit. And we did, and we went. Amazing experience. It would have been nice to be encumbered by a bank accountant and people choose some other choices at the time, but it's good without it. And I'm good with it now. Be clear about that. Here we're listening. You know? Think about how prosperity unfolds for you and what you think and feel about it, because that's what matters more than how much you have in the bank or don't have in the bank. Or how much house you have or don't have. How you live and breathe. So I want to talk a minute about how we translate this and move it into living in this realm of awareness, of this realm of enoughness. Because you are enough. Who you are as spirit is enough. You are a unified version of the unique and amazing creative process and creative energy and creative power. How do you live in that place? How do you live in that land? Get used to feeling connected and abundant. You know, in prosperity classes, we teach people to do things like go sit in a hotel lobby at the place that you would stretch you the most in your consciousness of prosperity until you feel comfortable. There are stories about that. Pay value for value. Give to those things that matter to you, knowing that there is within you a resource that will always bring more, that you cannot outgive the goodness of life. And giving is a way of expanding your own consciousness of that and your own connection with that. Living in that space of abundance is to start with the end in mind. You have within you a power and an energy that you create. Your life can find that which you want, which you embody and take in, whether I am prosperous or I am not. That's up to you, and that energy within you, that life force, determines that and says it loud and clear to you. So start with the end in mind if you want to live in abundance. See yourself as abundant. See yourself as success. Show up as success. Dress as success. Dress for success, according to your feeling of what that is. 2 years ago, in this town at least, if you wanted to show up dressed for success, you wore Birkenstocks and jackets with patches on the shoulders and turtlenecks. Whatever feels good to you, if that's what feels like success, show up. Be it. Fake it till you make it, they say, but it's not a faking. It's a living it so that you begin to recognize that you're embodying it. You're bringing it into yourself in a deeper and different way. Instead of the abundance through the prosperity shuffle, I haven't figured out what that is yet, but we will. You can do it. You just kind of shuffle along the road. Everything is good. Everything's okay. Connect with that life force within you. Acknowledge it. That's your superpower. You know, today, any kind of workshop you go to is about personal understanding, whatever. They always want to know what's your superpower. They ask you to wear, you know, badges about what your superpower is. Our superpower is the life force within us, which is always pressing to become what you believe it to be for you as you. All you have to do to shift how that comes is shift what you believe about yourself and what you're capable of doing. I believe myself to be, I know myself to be success. I know myself to be perfect. I know myself to be alive and healthy. The universe just says yes. That life force within you says yes. And when you bump into things that don't seem to match, someone said to me this week, you know, I have all the ideas of prosperity, I have all the consciousness of prosperity, why isn't it showing up? I don't know. What do you believe in? What do you think about it? Do you think you deserve it? I think I've done enough work. Okay, but it's not about work, it's about what you believe about yourself. Do you think you have the value within you? You know, if you want to increase the value flowing through your life, you've got to increase what you believe about your own value. Are you the intrinsic expression of an infinite power, the same one that's created all of this? Or are you just some little something that showed up on the planet? That's what you're embodying, and that's what will show up in your life. But it's not the truth of who you are, because you're always more than that. Interesting quote. What we do is not as important as what we are conscious of being when we do it. What you do is less important than what you're conscious of being. Are you doing this as a scared kid? Are you doing this as a mature adult? Are you doing this as divine, bringing something good into the world? Are you doing this from a place of recognizing, truly knowing, this is who I am? I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I get to just be it. That's my truth. It's a great quote from George O'Keefe. She said that before she would do a show, she said, I'd get out all my work and I would create a show, an art show for myself. just what I said. And I would tweak it, and I would put it all together until I absolutely knew this was it. This was the show. I would look at all the good points of it. I would look at all the bad points of it, all the places it could have been improved. And I would come to a complete peace about, this is my show for today. This is how far I've come and what I did. So after that, the critics can write whatever they want. I have already settled it for myself. And the flattery or the criticism can go down the same drain. And I am quite free. That is the ultimate goal and the ultimate point of all of this. You see, there's a power within you that will bring you that freedom, that will create that power for you within you if you simply accept and believe it, embody it, do all the mental work it takes to be part of that which you want to become, that which you want to see. You have the power to do it because it's innate within you, as it is with me and everyone else. Because you're wonderful. So am I. So it is. Okay, so let's take a few moments and spend some quiet time with this idea. Find it in your own mind. So settle in to this feeling within you that goes beyond and overrides any idea to the contrary, anything less than or not even. And sinks deeply into the awareness that there is an energy of power and goodness within you that is expressing and always expressing. Life has been there through all of it, until now, and will continue right on forever. We recognize this one power is all that's needed. It is enough, and it's more than enough. As are you. Choose, take these words for yourself. I am an individual. No one has ever used my mind the way I am. And that's because there's only one of you, now and for all time. My life is balanced between acknowledging my completeness and enjoying my creativity. From this day forward, I take charge of my mind. What I think, what I feel, what I believe. My life will be what I make it. Regardless of the experiences I have had or am having right now, how wonderful it is to be in life and more than that. I accept this truth for myself. I accept it as the way life is for me. And I accept that I have within me that which is greater than anything I have done before, anything I have will ever do. I am, and my essence and my truth cannot be diminished or added to, can only be recognized. And today I recognize the essence of my life as an expression of the divine. As enough. This is my truth, I let it be, and in gratitude I say, and so it is. So glad you're all here, and so glad you're here to celebrate with us. Those who are here for the first time, or the first time in a long time, and we do special. welcome. Let you know that we're here for you. Happy to answer questions afterwards. Or if any of you, I'd love to hear your path up until now and your choices about being here or helping you with the property. Prosperity we're talking about, prosperity we're experiencing. So I invite you to join in that flow, that circulation. Giving, receiving, receiving, giving. And this is our time to do that. You may do so by putting something in plate if you have it with you. You may also go online through our website. There's a PayPal that you can touch that button and contribute in that way. There's also a way to sign up for regular contributions from your credit card or your bank account if you choose to do that. But I'm inviting you to participate in this place if what we're doing here matters. Because as you do that, what you get from being here will multiply as well. You can't outgive the universe. It will give you greater and greater gifts. So join me, if you will, in our affirmation of prosperity reading. We do this together. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is.